Push the throttle forward on a tailwheel airplane for the first time, and I promise you something is going to happen that nobody quite prepared you for. The nose is going to try to leave the runway sideways. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, the show where we take the stuff that gets mumbled at you over the roar of the engine and slow it down until it actually makes sense. Today we are talking about the four horsemen of the takeoff roll. The four left-turning tendencies, and the single most undertaught, underpracticed, overblamed input in all of primary training, right rudder. If you have ever had an instructor smack the glare shield and holler right rudder at you while your little Cessna 172 weather vane toward the runway lights, this one is for you. And here is my promise. By the end of these 20 minutes, you're not going to be adding right rudder because somebody yelled at you, you're going to be adding it because you understand exactly what the airplane is doing and why. That is the difference between a student and a pilot. Let's walk through this together. Before we go further, let me give a shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of this journey we are all on. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, they have got you covered. And here's the thing about milestones in aviation. They are hard won the day you finally hold that centerline. Through a full power takeoff without the airplane wandering, without the instructor touching the pedals. That is a real milestone, even if nobody hands you a certificate for it. AviationSoul.com, mark the moments that matter. All right, let's get into the physics, and I'm going to keep it honest, because the usual explanation you get is the airplane turns left, add right rudder. And that is not an explanation. That is a symptom. There are four separate forces at work, and they do not all show up at the same time or in the same phase of flight. Learning to feel which one is biting you, and when is what makes you smooth. So let's take them one at a time. The first one is torque. Newton told us that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Your propeller, viewed from the cockpit, spins to the right, clockwise, on the vast majority of American training airplanes. That spinning mass of metal wants to spin the whole airplane the other way, to the left around the roll axis. So the airplane wants to roll left, and when it rolls, even a little, it puts a bit more weight on the left main tire on the ground, and in the air, it is a rolling tendency you counter with a whisper of aileron. Torque is strongest when you have got a big engine and a heavy prop turning slow and pulling hard, low airspeed, high power. Sound familiar? That is the takeoff roll and the initial climb. The second horseman, and this is the big one for most of us, is P-factor, asymmetric propeller loading. Here's the picture I want you to hold. When your airplane is climbing, or sitting nose-high in a tailwheel, three-point attitude, the propeller disc is not slicing straight into the wind. It is tilted back. The propeller is a wing, a set of little rotating wings, and each blade has its own angle of attack. When the disc is tilted back, the blade coming down on the right side of the airplane is taking a bigger bite of air than the blade going up on the left side. More bite on the right means more thrust on the right side of the propeller disc. More thrust on the right pushes the nose, left. P-factor loves high angle of attack and high power. So the moment you rotate, the moment you pitch up into that climb, P-factor wakes up and leans on the nose. This is the one that gets student pilots in the climb out, right after they thought they were done fighting the takeoff roll. The third horseman is spiraling slipstream, sometimes called corkscrew effect. Your propeller does not just throw air straight back, it throws it back in a spiral, a corkscrew of wind wrapping around the fuselage. That spiral, because of the direction the prop turns, comes around and strikes the left side of your vertical tail, pushes the tail right, and if the tail goes right, the nose goes, everybody left. Spiraling slipstream is strongest at high power and low airspeed, because at low speed that corkscrew is tight and wrapped close around the fuselage. As you speed up, the spiral stretches out and lags behind the tail and stops mattering as much. That is why this one, too, is a takeoff and low-speed phenomenon. And the fourth horseman only shows up if you fly a tail dragger, gyroscopic precession. Your spinning propeller is a gyroscope, and gyroscopes have a strange, wonderful property. When you apply a force to a spinning gyroscope, the reaction shows up 90 degrees later in the direction of rotation. In a tailwheel airplane, when you push the stick forward on the takeoff roll to raise the tail, you are tilting that spinning propeller disc forward. Apply that force at the top of the disc, and precession delivers the reaction 90 degrees around. On the left side, which yaws the nose one more time to the left. Gyroscopic precession is a big deal in tailwheel airplanes at the exact instant you raise the tail. In your nose wheel trainer, you will barely notice it because you're not making that abrupt pitch change on the ground. But I want you to know it is there because the day you go get your tailwheel endorsement, it is going to introduce itself. So let's add up the bill: torque, PE factor, spiraling, slipstream, gyroscopic precession, 4 separate forces, 4 different mechanisms, and every single one of them on a standard American engine pushes the nose the same direction, left, 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 and left. That is not a coincidence you have to fight through willpower. That is a design characteristic you manage with your feet. Now, here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training, instead of just barking the correction at me. Your feet are not a switch, they are a dimmer. The single most common mistake I see, and I saw it in myself, is treating right rudder like an on-off command. Stomp it. Hold it. Wonder why you are now veering right. The left-turning tendencies change in strength continuously through the takeoff and climb. So your rudder pressure has to change continuously too. It is a living, breathing input. Let me walk you through a normal takeoff and a 172 the way I want you to feel it. You line up on the center line, feet on the pedals, not the brakes, the pedals. You smoothly bring the power up to full. And right there in that first second, as the engine spins up and the airplane is barely moving, spiraling slipstream and torque are already talking. You need right rudder now, before you feel the swerve, not after. The pilots who look smooth are the ones adding the correction as the cause arrives, not reacting to the result. As you accelerate down the runway, the airplane gets faster, the rudder gets more effective because more air is flowing over it, and interestingly, your required pressure starts to ease because the slipstream is stretching out and airspeed is giving your rudder more authority. So you are actually relaxing pressure a little through the roll, then you rotate, you pitch up into the climb, and boom, P-factor and torque surge, because now you're high power, high angle of attack, and airspeed has not caught up yet. So right as you leave the ground, you often need to add pressure back in. A lot of students nail the takeoff roll and then let the ball slide way out to the left in the initial climb because they relaxed exactly when the airplane needed them most. Hold that climb, keep the ball centered with your feet, and as you accelerate to cruise climb, the pressure settles into a steady, moderate hold. Not zero. There is a reason your airplane has a rudder trim tab or a slightly offset vertical fin to take some of that steady state load off you. But in the climb, your right foot is working. Get comfortable with that. Now, how do you know if you're doing it right? Two ways, and I want you to use both. The first is the inclinometer, the ball. That little black ball in the curved glass tube at the bottom of your turn coordinator. When the ball is centered, your airplane is flying coordinated. No slip, no skid, the air flowing straight down the fuselage. When the nose yaws left and you have not corrected, that ball slides to the right. And here is the phrase that will save you every time. Step on the ball, whichever way the ball has slid, that is the foot you press. Ball is out to the right, step on it with your right foot. It is that simple, and it works in every phase of flight, every airplane forever. But I do not want you staring at the ball on takeoff. Your eyes belong outside, down the runway, on the center line and the far end. Which brings me to the second way you know, and it is the better way. The seat of your pants. When the airplane yaws, you feel it. Your body gets gently pushed sideways in the seat. Test pilots call it the seat of the pants sense, and it is real. An uncoordinated airplane pushes your body toward the outside of the yaw. Learn to feel that little sideways nudge and correct it with your feet before you ever glance at the ball. And now you are flying the airplane instead of chasing an instrument. That is the goal. Let me give you a scenario, because this is where it gets real and where it gets safety critical. You are departing a short strip on a warm day, trees off the end. You are focused, maybe a little tense, pulling the airplane off and pitching for best angle of climb, VX, to clear those trees. High power, high angle of attack, low airspeed. That is the maximum P-factor recipe, and in that exact moment, if you're not holding the rudder that the airplane demands, the nose yaws left, and the airplane is now flying uncoordinated with the ball hanging out to the right. Here is why that matters and why I will never gloss over it. An uncoordinated airplane at low airspeed and high angle of attack is exactly the setup for a spin. If that left wing, the one that has slowed down in the yaw, reaches its critical angle of attack first, it stalls first, and the airplane can roll and depart right there at 200 feet with trees in the windshield. There is no altitude to recover. I'm not telling you that to scare you off short fields. I am telling you so you understand that right rudder is not a cosmetic nicety your instructor nags about. Coordinated flight in the climb is a stall spin prevention skill. Your feet are keeping that wing flying. That is the stakes. Now let's talk about the check ride, because the examiner is absolutely watching this. Pull up the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot, the Normal Takeoff and Climb Task. Read the skill elements and you will find, right there in plain language, that you are expected to maintain directional control and proper wind drift correction and to establish and maintain a coordinated climb. The examiner is looking for the ball centered. They are looking for a takeoff roll that tracks the center line like it is painted on your nose wheel. They are watching your feet work. And here's the thing, on the ground, on the ramp, before the flight, a sharp examiner may ask you to explain the left turning tendencies. They want to hear all four. Torque, P-factor, spiraling slipstream, gyroscopic precession. They want to hear that you know when each one dominates. So the knowledge is testable and the skill is testable, and honestly, the pilots who can explain it are almost always the ones whose feet already know it. Understanding and skill feed each other. Let me give you something practical for your next three flights, because I do not want this to stay theory. On your next takeoff, before you touch the throttle, say to yourself out loud, right rudder coming in, then feed the power in slowly, over 3 or 4 seconds, not a jab. A slow power application gives you time to meter the rudder in smoothly, and it is easier on the engine anyway. Track the center line with your eyes outside, on the climb out. Once you're stable and clear of obstacles, glance at the ball just once and see where it is. If it is out to the left, which is where most of us leave it, you just learned that you have been under-ruddering the climb your whole flying life, and now you can fix it. And here is a drill I love. 1. Your instructor can set up with you at altitude safely, up where you have got room. It is sometimes called a coordination exercise or Dutch rolls. And I want to be careful with that name, because a Dutch roll is also a real aerodynamic phenomenon in swept-wing jets, a whole different animal. But the training exercise goes like this. Up at a safe altitude, you gently roll the airplane left and right, 10 or 15 degrees of bank each way back and forth. And your entire job is to keep the nose absolutely pinned on one spot on the horizon using rudder. Roll left. The nose wants to yaw one way from adverse yaw. You catch it with rudder. Roll right, catch it the other way. Do that for a few minutes, and you will start to feel the direct connection between your feet and the nose in a way that no amount of me talking can give you. Ask your CFI, it is a wonderful lesson. One more honest word before I let you go, because I told you at the top I would keep this real. Learning to fly is hard, and it is expensive, and the rudder is one of those skills that comes slower than the others, because you cannot see it. You can see your pitch, you can see your bank, but coordination lives in your feet and your backside, and it takes hours to wire in. So if you're a student right now and the instructor is still hollering right rudder, do not you dare feel stupid about it. Every single one of us went through exactly that. Your feet are learning a language. And one day, and you will not even notice the day it happens, they will just start speaking it on their own. That is the day you will realize the airplane got quiet and steady and it goes where you point it. Today's breakdown of the left-turning tendencies leans on the aerodynamics laid out in the FAA's Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge and the standards in the Airman Certification Standards. And if you want to read the source yourself, both are free from the Federal Aviation Administration. You can find links and more over at RadioHangar.com. I'm Pattern. Go put your right foot to work. I will see you back here in the pattern.